虹口区2018学年度第二学期期中学生学习能力诊断测试高三英语试卷听力部分 Listening Comprehension Section A Directions In Section A, you will hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. The conversations and the questions will be spoken only once.After you hear a conversation and a question about it, read the four possible answers on your paper and decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard.
1. Excuse me, but I'm not feeling quite well. I think I'm going to throw up.
There is an air sickness bag in front of you, sir.
Question. Where does the conversation most probably take place?
2. Patrick, how do you like your roommate?
It's a pain in the neck sharing a room with him. He talks in his sleep and never makes the bed. I'm simply fed up with him.
Question. What can we learn about Patrick from the conversation?
3. You went to the cinema last night, didn't you? How was the movie, The Wandering Earth?
It couldn't be better.I lost myself in it the whole evening.
Question. What can we learn from the conversation?
4. Do you rent room by the week? You see, I'm not sure whether I will stay for a whole month.
Yes, the rents are higher, however. It's $50 a week, but only $160 a month.
Question. How much will the woman pay if she rents the room for 3 weeks? 5. Mike, look at my new hairstyle. I wish my hair were longer.
Yes, honey. If only you'd listen to me.
Question. What does the man imply?6. Sorry, sir. I'm calling to inform you that the book you ordered online is out of stock.
Why didn't you update the information online then? I need it urgently to carry on my research.
Question. How does the man feel? 7. I think your resume is excellent.But I'm afraid we don't have any vacancy for the position of assistant engineer at the moment.
Well, there must be some position open somewhere. Perhaps something more entry level?
Question. What does the man want?
8. Do you understand what Mr. James just said?
Not really. He always beats about the bush, and I just can't get his points.
Question. Why can't the woman understand Mr. James?
9. Do older people in your country like to use apps?
Yeah, of course. How can the smart app developers miss out on so important and vast a population?
Question. What does the man mean?10. I don't agree with Ms. Johnson on his views about social welfare. He seems to suggest that the poor are robbing the rich.
He could have used better words to express his idea, but I found what he said makes a lot of sense.
Question. What does the man imply? 6. B. Directions. In Section B,You will hear 2 short passages and 1 longer conversation, and you will be asked several questions on each of the passages and the conversation. The passages and the conversation will be read twice, but the questions will be spoken only once. When you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers on your paper and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard. Questions 11 through 13 are based on the following passage.
Hello. Today I am going to talk about poverty, a critical issue in today's world. One useful way to understand poverty is to distinguish between three degrees of poverty. The first type of poverty is extreme poverty. In extreme poverty, households cannot meet basic needs for survival. People suffer from long-term hunger. They have no access to safe drinking water, let alone health care. They cannot afford education for their children. In short, people who live in extreme poverty do not have even the minimum resources to support themselves and their families. Then, where does extreme poverty occur? Well, you can find it only in developing countries. Well, what about moderate poverty? Unlike extreme poverty, moderate poverty generally refers to rarely meeting the basic needs of life condition. People living in moderate poverty have the resources to keep themselves alive, but only at a very basic level. For example, they may have access to drinking water, but not clean, safe drinking water. They may have a home to shelter themselves, but it does not have power supply or a telephone. The third kind of poverty is relative poverty. Relative poverty is generally considered to be a household income level which is below a given proportion of average family income. The relatively poor live in high-income countries, but they do not have a high income themselves. The methods of calculating the poverty line vary from country to country, but we can say that, basically, the income of a family living in relative poverty is less than that of the average family. They can meet their basic needs, but they lack access to cultural goods and entertainment. They also do not have access to quality health care. We should keep these distinctions in mind when we research people's living conditions either in the developing or the undeveloped world.
Now listen again, please. Hello, today I'm going to talk about poverty, a critical issue in today's world. One useful way to understand poverty is to distinguish between three degrees of poverty. The first type of poverty is extreme poverty. In extreme poverty, households cannot meet basic needs for survival. People suffer from long-term hunger. They have no access to safe drinking water, let alone health care. They cannot afford education for their children. In short, people who live in extreme poverty do not have even the minimum resources to support themselves and their families. Then, where does extreme poverty occur? Well, you can find it only in developing countries. Well, what about moderate poverty? Unlike extreme poverty, moderate poverty generally refers to rarely meeting the basic needs of life condition. People living in moderate poverty have the resources to keep themselves alive, but only at a very basic level. For example, they may have access to drinking water, but not clean, safe drinking water. They may have a home to shelter themselves, but it does not have power supply or a telephone. The third kind of poverty is relative poverty. Relative poverty is generally considered to be a household income level which is below a given proportion of average family income. The relatively poor live in high-income countries, but they do not have a high income themselves. The methods of calculating the poverty line vary from country to country, but we can say that, basically, the income of a family living in relative poverty is less than that of the average family. They can meet their basic needs, but they lack access to cultural goods and entertainment. They also do not have access to quality health care. We should keep these distinctions in mind when we research people's living conditions, either in the developing or the developed world. Question 11. Where did the speaker say we can find extreme poverty?
Which of the following features can be seen in relative poverty?
Thirteen. What did the speaker mainly talk about? Questions 14 through 16 are based on the following passage.
Like many other people, I love my smartphone, which keeps me connected with the larger world. I also love my laptop, because it holds all of my writing and thoughts. However, I know there are times when I need to move away from these devices and truly communicate with others. On occasion, I teach a course called History Matters to a group of higher education managers. My goals for the class include a full discussion of historical themes and ideas, because I want students to thoroughly study the materials and exchange their ideas with each other in classroom. I have a rule: no laptop, iPads, phones, etc. When students were told my rule in advance of the class, some of them were not happy. Most students assume that my reasons for this rule include unpleasant experiences in the past with students misusing technology. There is a bit of truth to that. Some students assume that I am anti-technology. There is no truth in that at all. The real reason why I ask students to leave technology at the door is that I think there are very few places in which we can have deep conversations and truly engage complex ideas. Interruptions by technology often break concentration and allow for too much dependence on outside information for ideas. I want students to dig deep within themselves for inspiration and ideas. I've been teaching my history class in this way for many years, and the evaluation reflects student satisfaction with the environment that I create. Students realize that, with deep conversation and a challenge, they learn at a level that helps them keep the course materials beyond the classroom.
Now listen again, please. Like many other people, I love my smartphone, which keeps me connected with the larger world. I also love my laptop because it holds all of my writing and thoughts. However, I know there are times when I need to move away from these devices and truly communicate with others. On occasion, I teach a course called History Matters to a group of higher education managers. My goals for the class include a full discussion of historical themes and ideas, because I want students to thoroughly study the materials and exchange their ideas with each other in the classroom. I have a rule: no laptop, iPads, phones, etc. When students were told my rule in advance of the class, some of them were not happy. Most students assume that my reasons for this rule include unpleasant experience in the past with students misusing technology. There's a bit of truth to that. Some students assume that I am anti-technology. There is no truth in that at all. The real reason why I ask students to leave technology at the door is that I think there are very few places in which we can have deep conversation and truly engage complex ideas. Interruptions by technology often break concentration and allow for too much dependence on outside information for ideas. I want students to dig deeper within themselves for inspiration and ideas. I've been teaching my history class in this way for many years, and evaluations reflect student satisfaction with the environment that I create. Students realize that, with a deep conversation and a challenge, they learn at a level that helps them keep the course materials beyond the classroom. Questions 14. Why were some of the students in the history class unhappy?
What can be learned from this passage?
What can be inferred from the passage about the use of technology in classrooms? Questions 17 through 20 are based on the following conversation. Here's your cup of coffee, Bob.
Thanks. But what took you so long, Catherine?
Sorry, Bob. I bumped into somebody I knew in the cafe and stopped for a chat.
Okay, well, Catherine, did you know that coffee houses were originally a meeting place for lively debates and intellectual discussions?
Really? I didn't know that, Bob. So how long ago was this debating society formed?
The first coffee house was set up in Oxford in 1650, but they quickly became popular and soon they were all over London, too. You paid a penny to get in, and this included access to newspapers and a stimulating conversation.
But I have to say, while I was getting our coffees earlier, there was nobody else in the cafe talking except me and my friend. Everybody was sitting on their own, typing away on their laptops. So the spirit of those 17th century coffee houses has disappeared then. No more lively debates and intellectual discussions.
It seems so. As Douglas Fraser, BBC business and economy editor, says, the coffee shop's free Wi-Fi is transporting its customers to different destinations far from the person beside them. As you can see, so many people sit alone plugged into their laptops, and they are all doing different things, working, writing, messing about on social media.
I think the cafe owners should turn off the free Wi-Fi. I don't think people should be allowed to sit all day using the internet, occupying tables, and not talking to anybody, especially when some of them don't even buy a coffee.
That's a bit extreme, Catherine. Cafe owners need customers, and they encourage people to stay by having comfortable sofas and newspapers to read and the free Wi-Fi.
I suppose you are right. Now listen again, please. Here's your cup of coffee, Bob.
Thanks, but what took you so long, Catherine?
Sorry, Bob. I bumped into somebody I knew in the cafe and stopped for a chat.
Okay, well, Catherine, did you know that coffee houses were originally a meeting place for lively debates and intellectual discussions?
Really? I didn't know that, Bob. So how long ago was this debating society formed?
The first coffee house was set up in Oxford in 1650, but they quickly became popular and soon they were all over London, too. You paid a penny to get in, and this included access to newspapers and a stimulating conversation.
But I have to say, while I was getting our coffees earlier, there was nobody else in the cafe talking except me and my friend. Everybody was sitting on their own, typing away on their laptops. So the spirit of those 17th century coffee houses has disappeared then. No more lively debates and intellectual discussions.
It seems so. As Douglas Fraser, BBC business and economy editor, says, the coffee shop's free Wi-Fi is transporting its customers to different destinations far from the person beside them. As you can see, so many people sit alone plugged into their laptops, and they are all doing different things, working, writing, messing about on social media.
I think the cafe owners should turn off the free Wi-Fi. I don't think people should be allowed to sit all day using the internet, occupying tables, and not talking to anybody, especially when some of them don't even buy a coffee.
That's a bit extreme, Catherine. Cafe owners need customers, and they encourage people to stay by having comfortable sofas and newspapers to read and the free Wi-Fi.
I suppose you are right. Questions 17. Why did it take Catherine a long time to bring back the coffee?
What can be learned about the earlier coffee house from this conversation?
What does Bob think of the idea of turning off the Wi-Fi?
20. How do the cafe owners attract customers?
听力部分到此结束，请同学们继续答题。